we cannot just sit there saying, Lord, make me comfortable. That's what I want it to be, just my comfort, please. God's got a different plan. He's like, I'm conforming you to the image of my son. I will use situation and circumstance to shape you and grow you. Do not be looking for the, Lord, show me off and make me comfortable, please. Instead, you look for this, Lord, shape me and change me that you might be glorified.
More of him, less of me. That's my cry, that's my plea.
Welcome to Completely His, the teaching ministry of Harvest Bible Chapel Peoria and Senior Pastor Tim Harkness. What does it mean to struggle with God, to face circumstances you didn't want, but in the midst of those, worship God? Are you willing to trust Him? If you have your Bible, we are in Daniel chapter 1 for part 1 of the message, Purposeful, So I Am Resolved. Here's Pastor Tim.
Daniel, the book of Daniel, looking back into history, is looking back into 17 kings of Judah and three kings over the combined nation of Israel and hundreds of years of God leading and Egypt and the slavery and Abraham and the promise, and God works in the midst of struggling and suffering, and that's been shown over and over along the way. And now Daniel picks up with the book of Daniel way out here in 600 BC, some 1,500 years after Abraham and all that stuff going on, all right? Let's dive into Daniel chapter 1 and let's do a little learning. Lord, what do you have for us as the God of our today? And point number one, trust. Even in the midst of struggle, God is moving and providing. Trust. Even in the midst of struggle, God is moving and providing. And it's huge that we understand that God is at work. And sometimes it may not look like it, it may not feel like it, but God is at work. Everybody say, God is at work. And that's what we're going to be going through today here. Here we go. It starts out in chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Hey, we heard about that guy, right? And that's the 17th king of Judah. We're looking at about 600 BC. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Everybody say, that's not good. Like, we better read that well, right? It's one word, besieged. It doesn't mean brought really nice gifts for. That's not what it means. It means he came in and he took over. There was an attack. And it'd be easy to say, God, what are you doing? In the midst of the attack, there was a lot of question now going on about what was next. And Daniel has the answer. Look at the next sentence. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. Yeah, I'm telling you, Jehoiakim was taken captive, and Daniel's like, let me just tell you a little bit about it. The Lord gave that over. Man, we better get this. God sets up kings, and he deposes them. God puts in place who's going to rule. Good for us to remember that when we're coming up to election time here. Right? And who knows which way it's going to go? Know this, our responsibility in a democratic nation is to put our single vote in, and then we trust our God to move. And sometimes God is blessing the nation with that choice and that allowance as things move. And other times God might even be saying, let me hand you over to that for a season. And wherever we end up here, and however we're walking here, know this, God sets up. Everybody say, God sets up. If there was one little moment you could take away from right now as we head into this election era, it is, Lord, we're praying to see your hand move, and whatever happens, you're moving. And all of God's people said, amen. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, the land of Shinar. And just so you know, that's Babylon, all right? That's Babylon. And so that's like from Jerusalem. It's traveling up and around, and it's hundreds and hundreds of miles all the way over to the east, to Babylon. And that's where they were going, to the plains of Shinar, to the house of his God. This is Nebuchadnezzar's God. And he placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. And notice that it is a little g. And this God is not a real God. This God is not the God of the universe. This is him trying to have some level of religious expression, but it isn't to the God who lives and breathes and is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is giving it to a little g God, probably some level of demonic interaction in all that's going on, and some wrong religious expression. And he took the stuff that he had gotten from Israel out of their temple, out of their worship, and brought it back over to Babylon and placed it there. Why? He was like, do you see how we have dominated them? I have taken their properties from their worship, and it is now in our worship place. Domination. It was a symbol to the people that he had gone hundreds of miles away and won a war against Judah. And he placed these things in the treasury there. It says, the king then commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of his people, some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility. He's like, hey, come here. You're like in charge of this whole court. Do me a favor. Now go get the people from there. I want their nobility. I want the people who used to reign over that nation here under my thumb, where I'll rule. You go get them and you bring them here. And everybody say, God had a plan. And we better know it. God had a plan in the midst. As Ashpenaz now grabs some people and they go back to Israel, who had been conquered, to Judah, to actually dive in and grab some nobility. And I love this. You got to remember, Daniel's the one writing Daniel, right? So here's Daniel's little take on who got taken. Nobility, youth, without blemish, of good appearance, skilled in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, competent to stand in the king's palace. Hey, newsflash, just so you know, one of them was Daniel. And he's like, I'm just telling you, they were good-looking dudes. They were smart. They could think. They were brilliant. Those people, and it's here's the beauty. He gets to be like, it's inspired. God told me to say it, right? And so this recorded true moment of the good-looking nobility, of which Daniel is one, and they end up being placed in front of the king. That's the goal, to bring him back and put him in front of the king, to stand in the king's palace, it says, and to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. And this is of the area around Babylon, and all that they knew and all that they had learned. And everybody say, God had a plan. Man, as Daniel is now being taken hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away from his family, from his home, from his comfort, from what he would have loved to have seen continue. And he was dropped in Babylon, where he was now going to be placed in front of kings and trained and taught. It says, the king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years. And that's a lot like college, right? Like, hey, we've got a special meal plan for you. And it's going to take about 3 years before you can really graduate from this thing. And we're going to put you through the paces, and we're looking for you to end up thriving along the way. And they were to be educated for 3 years. At the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Why? Well, that was for their final oral dissertation. They were going to be checked and tested on what they'd learned and what they knew, and were they really progressing appropriately? Was this working? And among these taken was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them these names. And how do you know you're a slave? Because they're like, yeah, that's not your name anymore, bro. Now we're going to call you this, right? And new name for him. Daniel, he called Belteshazzar. Hananiah, he called Shadrach. Mishael, he called Meshach. And Azariah, he called Abednego. And the names that they now had to take on in a new country, in a new world, as they took on new diet, as they took on new education, that's what the plan of the king was. And we're going to set this down before you. And man, how often do we end up in a situation where we don't see God's plan in it and we don't see his hand in it? In fact, we just are not expecting the right things. And it gets so brutally hard to trust. To trust. This first point here was to trust even in the midst of struggle. And I'm just telling you, the top killer to trust is fear. It will kill your trust. Fear. The what if. The worry. The but what about? Fear. God, this isn't the way I expected it to come down. And our expectations often build into our fear. Did you know that? You start getting afraid because you expected A. And when it didn't start happening, you started going, then what's going to happen? What if? And now you start gripping fear. Hey, just so you know, when we tend to fear, we tend to control, which, by the way, is the exact opposite of trust. And so if we're going to trust, it's time to set down the fear. That really means we got to get a biblical expectation going on. And I've said this a million times. I'm going to say it again. Maybe this is the first time you're going to hear me say it. Lord, please open our ears. Ready? Our expectation as believers cannot include. Dude, I just want to be comfortable. Everybody say, can't include that. Dude, we cannot just sit there saying, Lord, make me comfortable. That's what I want it to be, just my comfort, please. God's got a different plan. He's like, I'm conforming you to the image of my son. I will use situation and circumstance to shape you and grow you. Do not be looking for the, Lord, show me off and make me comfortable, please. Instead, you look for this, Lord, shape me and change me that you might be glorified. And all of God's people said, and I'm telling you, that's got to be our expectation. That is easy to say for an hour in church on Sunday morning. And then we get out of here and we start walking into our everyday life and we get right back to, hey, that wasn't very comfortable. What are they doing with? Right? We go right back to it. Lord, help me have the right expectation. I'm just telling you, expectation is everything. Dude, what's your expectation in life? Are you expecting your God to work in your life through the hard and through the good to grow you to be more like him? Are you expecting that? Or are you looking for a straight-up comfort walk? I'm telling you, your expectation is your everything on this trust. Put your expectation in the right place and watch God rock you. And all of God's people said, that's step one. And Daniel understood, as he said, and the Lord gave. He saw God's hand in all of this as he was trusting in the midst. Number two, submission. Always seek permission, not forgiveness, letting God lead. Submission. Always seek permission, not forgiveness, letting God lead. And this is a huge deal. It starts out in verse 8, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Remember, the king's plan was, hey, you're going on a 3-year meal plan with me. And Daniel's like, yeah, I don't think so. He resolved not to. Do you know what the word resolved means? It's like, yeah, not going to do that. Going to have to find a way not to, but I'm not going to do that. Why? Was he like, yeah, I don't really, that food doesn't taste good. I mean, these guys are like Chaldeans. Like, that's not what it was. This is what it was. They were eating things that were most likely against the law that Israel had taken. Foods that they were declaring unclean, ways of eating it that were unclean. And in order to honor and worship his God as to the Lord, he resolved not to take this step. And to hear me, we always are needing to be underneath the authority over us as to the Lord, right? And when there's a request coming down that's going to violate what God's calling you to be and do from his word, watch yourself. It's as to the Lord. And Daniel's like, I appreciate the request, but I can't go there. You're calling me to do something that will no longer honor and respect what God's calling me to honor and respect. And I'm going to stand by the things God has declared as being an unclean moment. I'm not going to go there. And so Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food. Please notice it does use the word defile there. a strong indicator that these are things that were violating God's law for the Jewish person. It says, therefore. When we see the therefore, it's a connecting word that's letting us know. And the phrase right before it is like, he resolved not to do this. He wasn't going to defile himself. So what did he do? Therefore, he lied and faked it and pretended like he was eating the food, but really didn't. Is that what it says? That's not what it says. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. He went and asked for permission. He sat under the hand and the headship and the leadership, and he said, you're in charge. Would it be okay if? And here's my request. Daniel's view towards what was happening. Look at the next sentence. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion. God gave. Daniel's like, I'm just telling you, God was moving in every facet of what was going on. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim over, and the whole thing was falling down. And now God's giving Daniel favor. God gives. God works in the midst of situations and struggles. God gives. And Daniel's like, you just need to understand, my God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, yeah, I fear my Lord, the king, who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? He's like, yeah, I appreciate what you're saying with this whole defiling thing. But dude, when you start looking worse than the others, my head rolls. And that's not a good plan for me. So I understand what you're asking, but I can't go there. I can't have you looking worse than the other ones. And he says here, the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my Lord who assigned your food and drink. Why should I do this thing in worse condition than in the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Like literally, if you look bad, I die. Do you understand this, Daniel? Can you imagine that conversation going on? Hey, I was wondering if, you know, if I could not eat that. Because that's like kind of against the law for honoring my God. You know, would that be okay? You know. Dude, when you look bad, I die. It's really important to me that you're looking good and getting smart. I'm really not cool with that plan. I need you to stay on tact with the plan. Right? This is the chief of the eunuchs being able to speak here and challenge him. And Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the four that had come from Judah, right? He said, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. And I'm just saying, bummer, as I read that. Like, that doesn't even sound good at all. I am not a straight-up vegetarian. I enjoy eating a good piece of meat. But Daniel's statement here was, hey, how about we just do the vegetable and water plan? And test us. In other words, dude, give it 10 days and let's see what God does. Just watch what happens. And if it doesn't work, just do it on a small-scale test. And if it doesn't work, then fine, I'll follow you. And what you want and what you need is what you'll get. Are you hearing how much he's putting it in the hands of the leader there? And let me just ask you, do you have a boss, somebody you're trying to work with or work for? How are you doing at letting them lead? Make sure you understand that God sets up kings and deposes, yes, but God works with all leadership. We're going to talk about that in just a second, Romans chapter 13. And huge deal. And Daniel's like, just give it a test, man, 10 days. And I'm surprised. 10 days seems like a short time to me, you know? And so they must have really thought this vegetable and water plan was going to make them emaciate fast, right? Like, you're going to look terrible in 2 days. And he's like, fine, let's give it 10, and we'll see what we look like. And if we're looking better than the other guys, then what do you think? And he's like, all right, we'll give it a try, right? It says, so he listened to them in this matter. And it was a huge deal. Starting in verse 13, let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you and deal with your servants according to what you see. He listened to them in this matter. He tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, there was a result. It says, at the end of the 10 days, they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. They were better in appearance. Remember, this is Daniel writing this. He's like, and after 10 days, we were looking fine. Right? And guys, if you're looking for a complimentary phrase, do not use this phrase. Fatter in flesh. That's not a good moment. Baby, you look awesome. You are fatter in flesh. And right, that's not complimentary in our society. But in their society, this was a very complimentary phrase. To be saying fatter in flesh, it meant that they were doing well. They didn't have to work hard, and they could go after it. And some of you are like, I don't know. I kind of like that fatter in flesh phrase. Let's make that our new expectation, right? And let's go after that. And this was the battle cry. Better in appearance, fatter in flesh. The youths were looking good. So the steward took away their food and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. All right, the 10 days is working. We'll give it another longer shot. Let's go after this and see what happens. You're looking better than them. Maybe I'll have a new dietary plan and I'll be a genius. And so the stewards go after it. And they're trying to honor God in the midst of it. And hey, just so you know, Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. Really important to understand how to work with leadership. Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. I'll just read it for you here. It says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Let me read that again. There is no authority except from God. Dude, you don't know my boss. You're right, I don't. I just know the universal statement here in Scripture. There is no authority. It's not most authority. It is all authority is established by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment and sit under well. And Daniel gives us a great example here of how to work with a boss and how to talk it through and ask for permissions, for how to be able to ask in a way that makes sense, to hear their concerns, and to be able to answer back in a way that takes into consideration them, not just you, and work with your boss as well. And what's that look like for you? And, hey, kids, what's that look like for you with your parents, to be able to listen well, to respect well, to be able to ask for permission, not just go do your own thing. Make sure that God is honored as you respect the authority over you. And yes, that's parents in your home. And showing a respect, man, in a huge way. It's a big deal that we grasp this. Daniel's a great model for this submission. Always seek permission, not forgiveness. You know what that means, right? That phrase. It's the, I'm going to go do it even though you don't want it done. And later I'll just tell you sorry. And everybody say that's a bad plan. That is not honoring and respecting your God over you and the people he's placed in charge. And to work with them, show respect and honor in it. I'm telling you, the God of your today always works through the leadership he's placed over. Make sure you see it and respond to it and watch God work.
Thank you for listening to Completely His, the teaching ministry of Harvest Bible Chapel Peoria and Senior Pastor Tim Harkness. To hear or view today's sermon in its entirety or for additional sermons, please visit www.harvestpeoria.org. If you've been impacted by this message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at completelyhis@harvestpeoria.org. Again, that email address is completelyhis@harvestpeoria.org. Harvest Bible Chapel is located at 401 Cimarron Drive in East Peoria. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to join us for one of our services on Sunday mornings at either 9 or 11 or Sunday evening at 4:30. For more information on Harvest Bible Chapel, please visit us online at www.harvestpeoria.org. Thanks again for joining us this week, and we hope you'll tune in again next Sunday as we seek to be completely His.